Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
2 Timothy chapter 1. We're talking about the influential mom. And Chris, you got that video pretty much ready to roll. We'll give a few comments here and then we'll let people get settled. The influential mom. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Talking about moms today. How many moms do we have here? Raise your hand if you're a mom. All right, quite a few moms. All right, well, we're glad that you are here today celebrating with us. We're going to look at a special mom here today in the book of 2 Timothy. It was actually Timothy's mom. Her name was Eunice. And also she had a grandmother, Lois, that Paul mentions. But they were very instrumental in the life of Timothy. In his upbringing, they were godly women that influenced his life, and then Paul built upon that foundation that had already been put in place. And so as we talk about the influential mom, you know, motherhood, as we kind of, as Paul read that Proverbs 31, and we look at men, you know, that, if a lady did all those things, it's kind of like, when would she sleep, or, you know, yeah, but there is some truth to that at certain seasons in life, isn't there? But one lady went into the psychologist, she was a mom, and was talking to the psychologist, and he says, so let's get this straight. You spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, 50% on your children. Yeah, I think I see the problem. So Chris found a video that kind of highlights some of that, so we're going to let that run here. Motherhood's not easy, but there's probably no more influential or powerful role on earth than a mother or a father, right? And their memory and presence will leave a lasting imprint on our lives. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who had a godly mother. So on 1908, Anna Jarvis was the first to that suggested an annual day for moms to be honored. And on May 9th, 1914, the Act of Congress, anybody know which president? 1914, May, what president? Come on. Abraham Lincoln. No. Woodrow Wilson. Woo! Tammy Steer, good job. She was paying attention in history class. All right. He established a national day to honor moms, so as a public expression. You know, there's many good biblical examples of moms in the Bible. There is Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses, right? And then there was a couple other ones here that I was thinking. There was Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, and then you have Mary, of course, the mother of Jesus, yes. So those are some examples. I want us to look at Eunice. You're not going to find Eunice much in the other parts of your Bible. This is basically the one place that she is mentioned, but she had an impact upon the life of Timothy, who would become a pastor under Paul's leadership. And Paul would kind of go in and get churches going, start churches in different communities, and he would leave behind people like Timothy and Titus to pastor and help raise up other pastors in these communities. And so Timothy was one of these young men. And so Paul recognizes, he's encouraging Timothy to become who God has called him to be and to stir up the things that had been instilled in his life from his mother. We don't hear anything about his father, but from his mother and from the Holy Spirit. So I want to read this, starting in verse 3 of chapter 1. It says, I thank God, whom I serve, that as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, or it can be translated fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Father, we ask a blessing over your word this morning, and we ask this in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I want to talk about contributions that a mom can make in the life of their child. And the first contribution that Paul alludes to that was in place in Timothy's life was what we can maybe call tenderness or compassion or gentleness. Paul says, I'm reminded of your tears. Timothy had a soft side to him. And that's what made him a good pastor, because he was compassionate towards the needs of the people that were under his care. Now, I don't think that was necessarily Paul's gift. Paul was kind of the trailblazer, entrepreneur, very driven man. And so that probably was not his gift. And so he needed people like Timothy and Titus that had a gift of compassion and tenderness, and that could shepherd the people of God. And so Eunice passed on to Timothy this gift of tenderness. You know, and I just think moms are a little more wired for tenderness as a general rule. And, you know, if the child falls and skins their knee, the father says what? Get up. Get up, pat them on the butt. Come on, get up, get going. Get back in the game. A mom does what? You know, yeah, maybe does that, puts them on their knee, maybe gives it a kiss. You know, that's just, moms just have a tendency to have a little more compassion, tenderness. And so if young boys or young girls learn tenderness, it's probably a little bit more from their moms as a general rule. The gift of tenderness. There were four scholars that were sitting down once, and they were debating, and they were arguing over Bible translations. Now, you probably wouldn't have this discussion at Doane, but you would on maybe like a Bible school campus, Bible college. I remember some of those debates. And they're debating over Bible translations, okay? So some of you maybe have an NIV today. How many have NIV? How many King James people here today? All right, you got a few there. And New Living Translation. I know some of you have that. New English Standard, New American Standard. All right, so these scholars were having a debate over Bible translations. One preferred the King James because of its beautiful, eloquent Old English. That's one of the strengths of the King James. Very easy to memorize. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literal treatment of the original text, and that is true of the New American Standard. The third man preferred a translation called the Moffat translation. A lot of you maybe have never heard of that, because of its quaint and penetrating use of words. And after giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar said, I personally prefer my mother's translation. The rest of the scholars kind of chuckled and laughed and said, your mom translated the Bible? And the other scholar said, yeah. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I ever saw. And that's what, as a mom, you live out the qualities of God, whether it's tenderness, compassion, love. You communicate that to your kids through the life that you live. And sometimes the only Bible that people will ever read is looking at your life, right? And that is true of motherhood. And so Timothy saw tenderness and the Word of God lived out in his life by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and he modeled some of those characteristics within his own life. So tenderness is the first one. Secondly, Paul refers to faith. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So Timothy came to know Christ and to walk in faith, but it wasn't his own journey. He came to know and walk in that faith because of his grandmother and his mother that raised him up in the ways of the Lord and instilled that faith within his life. He had a heritage to look past and into his life and to look back at. The example of faith. They practiced what they preached and they lived it out in their own life. And children are taught biblical principles. But there is, a lot of those things are better caught than taught. You know what I mean? As they see it lived out within your own life. And that faith that is there within their lives. You know, my mom was a lady that loved to pray. And I'd often would find her praying in her room or in her bedroom. That's one of the things that I remember most about her. And she is she just turned 75 here in February. And still, that's probably one of the things I remember that I think in her life is just that she's a person of prayer. But I remember, and I think I've shared this maybe once or twice before, but if you're new here, you haven't seen this. And when I was a kid, we'd always take a fishing trip up to Canada. From North Dakota up to this place in Saskatchewan, it was about a 12 to 14-hour drive, I believe, for us to get up there. And we'd pull our boat up there, and we'd fish the week of Memorial Day, kind of right after Memorial Day, so kind of right about now. We'd be getting stuff ready, and school would get out. Memorial Day, we would make a long trip up there, and we'd spend a week up there, rent a cabin up there, and usually we brought our own boat, and had a lot of walleye and northern pike in the lake. Those were the two primary fish that we'd catch. And the one day we went up to... So the Namu Lake was the big lake, and then there was this other little lake that you had to portage into. And so we'd go to Waterfall Bay, and you'd walk like, I don't know, half a mile, mile. It was probably closer to a mile. We'd have to walk in, and he had some smaller boats, 14-foot boats with an outboard motor on the back. And we would portage into that carrier gear in there and fish the smaller lake. And there was a lot of perch in there, I remember. I don't ever remember catching a walleye in there, but there was perch and then there was northern pike. And so we were in there for northern pike, and not just northern pike, we wanted to catch some big ones. So the first day I think we went there was a Monday or Tuesday, and we fished, and my dad caught an 18-pound northern pike, which is pretty good size as far as northern pike go. And a few other people caught some when we got to this one part, and I think everybody was catching them except for who? Yeah, me. No matter what I tried, I just... That wasn't my day. And so I was 12 years old. I was, you know. And guess who had compassion on me? It was my mom, right? She had compassion. And so she just even prayed a prayer that that I'd catch something. And so we left that day, and I left without catching anything significant. And my folks felt bad, so they scheduled another day that we would go back there a couple days later to go back. And so we portaged back in again, and We fished, and we really weren't having any luck that day. The fish had moved in those 2 days, and they were in different spots. And that's why they call it fishing, right, and not catching. And no matter what we did, we just weren't catching them. And finally, we went by this one spot, and all of a sudden, I had a bite. And here was a nice big northern pike, about 12 pounds. And we went by that spot again and caught another one, and that was probably about 14, 15, 16 pounds. And we went by that spot again, and then I caught this bigger one there. There you can see it. And who does that look like? Yeah, it looks like Aaron, doesn't it?
I think that is Aaron.
So I still have that fish on my wall in our office. I did, yes. I did. That's when I started working in the summers. They said, if you want to mount that, you're going to have to work. So I started working at age 12 for my dad, doing construction. So, but what led up to that was my mom, you know, before we began that day, she says, help Brent catch a big fish that day. And, you know, as a 12-year-old boy, that was left a lasting impression upon my life about faith, about the power of prayer, and that God hears our prayers. Fish, you may think that's not a big deal, but Peter, right, went out and caught a boatload of fish that one day with Jesus. So there must be something about fish. I don't know what it is, God and fish, but maybe God is partial to fish or something like that. I don't know. But that thing, just that event stood out in my life. You know, and as a mom, never underestimate just those small moments that happen. They might not be huge things to you, But in the life of your child, that might be a mountain. It might be a pillar, a landmark in their life that they will always look back on when God answered prayer for that one special thing. Contributions moms make, tenderness and faith. A third one that Paul mentions is confidence. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And that word power suggests just inner might, confidence and strength. And confidence is just such a huge thing in the life of a child. And I think the primary reason that where a person has confidence, it comes from mom and dad. The kids have that confidence that they can do what God has wired them to do, and that they can have gifts and talents and abilities, and that they're sure of who they are, and that self-esteem that is there. I believe that comes from a mom and dad that says that I love you, I care for you, and that is unconditional. That is not based upon performance. Our world's based upon a performance, isn't it? But a mom and dad, just that unfailing, consistent, steady love that is there, I believe that's where confidence comes from. Harry and Ada May Day lived in a four-room adobe house with no running water and no electricity. 100 miles from the nearest city, there was a school within driving distance, and it seemed that the future of their daughter, Sandra, was slim. But Ada May pulled together enough money together to subscribe to the urban newspapers, and she started an intense program for homeschooling her daughter. Later, she received enough money to send Sandra to the best boarding school available. Sandra then went on to Stanford, then to law school, and eventually Sandra Day O'Connor became the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States. And Sandra needed the intelligence, the inner drive to accomplish that, but much of the credit goes to mom and dad that made a lot of sacrifice. Amen? And I just see moms doing that. They tend to put the benefit of their children before their own. And, you know, we read that through Proverbs and think, do moms actually do some of those things? Yeah, they do. They do stay up late. They get things done. And they go the extra mile for their children. And it makes a difference in the life of their children. God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, of inner strength, of confidence. And I believe that seed is planted within the life of a child from the very beginning as a mom and dad love their child. And then that it's fanned into flame by God as they grow older. The fourth contribution a mom makes is love. Mothers are great at showing love. They give and give without receiving many times much love in return. You know, especially a little toddler, a baby, they don't say, oh, thank you, Mom. You know? Eventually, maybe they get older, maybe even out of college or high school, they begin to reciprocate. Those middle school years, sometimes there's not always a lot of reciprocal love that happens. Especially if they go through that stage where they really love to give hugs, and all of a sudden they shift into this adolescence, and it's kind of like then they have to be tough, especially boys, right? They have to be tough. They go through that, but moms contribute love. In fact, a study was done by King Frederick II, and he wanted to know, he had a different objective in mind, but he did an experiment. And so he took children at birth and placed them with a foster mom, and the purpose was to see what language they would learn if they had no mother influence. Okay, nobody talked to them, nobody spoke into their life. So all they'd be fed and left to themselves, okay, the child. And he wanted to know what language they'd grow up speaking, because he figured that would be the most authentic language, okay, that God had put in place in this earth, okay. Would they speak Hebrew or what would they speak? And so that was his goal, and so he followed through on that. And so the foster mom would nurse the children, bathe them, and wash them, but in no way would cuddle, play, or talk to this child. Okay, there were several of them. And in the process, he never was able to finish his experiment. Why do you think? Because all the children died. because they didn't have that motherly affection. You think motherly affection isn't powerful? It's absolutely built into the nature of a child that they need that love, care, and affection. I have a feeling they're cleaning up there a little bit. So, if they have some dirt underneath their fingernails today, that's my fault. So, I have some dirty clothes, that's my fault. All right. Love, a contribution of a mom. And lastly, fifth, is self-discipline. You know, children need balance, they need consistency, they need self-control. And as, you know, roles of moms and dads to model that, to instill that within their children in all areas of life. And we were talking with a couple last night. The daughter was bombing in one subject, and all the teenagers here, the consequence for her bombing in math was that she lost her cell phone. She's a middle schooler. She lost her upper middle school. She lost her cell phone until she gets her first grade report in the fall. Is that harsh? In today's society, it's kind of like, Ray is kind of like, but somewhere along the line, they have to learn self-discipline and that to take things seriously. And that is the role of mom and dad. And sometimes the mom and dads aren't always popular for that, for times. But down the road, it's kind of like, man, I'm glad mom and dad made me do that. Dr. Stanley Coppersmith, in a study of boys, found that children have a higher self-esteem and become more successful and independent when they have a home where there is consistent discipline. And it's been said that children need two pats on the back. One high as a form of encouragement, right? And then one down low to encourage them when they have done wrong. Children need praise and discipline in order to help them to mature and contribute to society. Dwight Eisenhower said, "My sainted mom taught me devotion to God and a love of country, which has sustained me even in many and lonely bitter places and moments in my life. And to her, I yield my son's reverent thanks." Have the musicians come. And if you would stand. As a mom or dad, we do our best to instill these qualities within our children, right? Tenderness, faith, confidence, love, and self-discipline. And in part, we trust God then to fan into flame what we've deposited in their heart and their life. To fan that into flame and to take what the humble gifts that we have, and at times it's like, have I made a difference in their life? Mom and dads have that. Sometimes think, man, did they catch a word I said? I sent one of my kids out in his bathrobe this morning to close up the shed. You were supposed to have done last night. I'm not going to say which one it was. Sometimes we wonder. Is it getting through? But I believe that as we do our part, that God can take what we do and He fans it into flame in our lives of our children. Just, we had a prayer request, just an anonymous one here in the last couple weeks. Just said, you know, the prayer was just that God would fan into flame a love for God that they've modeled in their child and their children's lives. And I just thought, you know, that's a prayer of a mom. Say, God, stir up what I've deposited. Father, this morning we just thank you for all the moms that are here. Some have young children, some have older children, some have that part of rearing children is done, and now we get to be a grandmother. So, Father, I just ask a special blessing because I know that at times it takes all the strength that we have and then some. Father, you've promised to be our strength and our help. Give us the wisdom when we don't know what to do. And so, Father, I just pray your blessing, your strength upon each mom here today. I pray that they feel loved and appreciated, because sometimes I know that it seems overwhelming. And Lord, I pray that even for future moms here, that you be with them. And just, Lord, the seeds that have been planted of love and self-confidence, faith, tenderness, self-discipline, those seeds that have been planted, Lord, that you would fan into flame those gifts within the lives of our children and bring them to completion. We give you the thanks and the praise in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we close this morning with the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.